to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk a bit about Veterans Day with a couple of veterans who work for the Catholic Church in Eastern South Dakota. So stick around for that. Chris Motes and Eric Gallagher will join us for that conversation. Renee Krantz will have news for us from the Bishop's Bulletin in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Kelly Bartman with the first and second reading, and Deacon John Devlin with the Gospel.
A reading from the second book of Maccabees. It happened that seven brothers with their mother were arrested and tortured with whips and scourges by the king to force them to eat pork in violation of God's law. One of the brothers, speaking for the others, said, "What do you expect to achieve by questioning us? We are ready to die rather than transgress the laws of our ancestors." At the point of death, he said, "You accursed fiend, you are depriving us of this present life, but the King of the world will raise us up to live again forever. It is for his laws that we are dying." After him, the third suffered their cruel sport. He put out his tongue at once when told to do so, and bravely held out his hands as he spoke these noble words, "It was from heaven that I received these. For the sake of his laws, I disdain them. From him I hope to receive them again." Even the king and his attendants marveled at the young man's courage, because he regarded his sufferings as nothing. After he had died, they tortured and maltreated the fourth brother in the same way. When he was near death, he said, "It is my choice to die at the hands of men, with the hope God gives of being raised up by him. But for you, there will be no resurrection to life." The word of the Lord. A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting encouragement and good hope through his grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good deed and word. Finally, brothers and sisters, pray for us so that the word of the Lord may speed forward and be glorified as it did among you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and wicked people, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. We are confident of you in the Lord, that what we instruct you, you are doing and will continue to do. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the endurance of Christ. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all the seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "The children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called out, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at highlights from the news from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Renee Krantz.
Hunters from across the diocese gathered in September for the annual Bishop's Charity Hunt, sponsored by the Catholic Community Foundation for Eastern South Dakota. 80 hunters hunted pheasants, enjoyed fellowship and meals, and celebrated Mass with Bishop Paul J. Swain. Approximately $45,000 was raised for Catholic Newman Ministries at universities in the diocese. Celebrating 50 years of the Jesuits' Social Justice and Ecology Secretariat, more than 200 Jesuits and their collaborators met in Rome to give thanks for the past, study the present, and discern the future. A big part of the present and future, they said, relies on ministering to young people, especially the poor, and educating young men and women to be responsible citizens committed to promoting the common good by working for justice and safeguarding creation. Jesuit Father Arturo Sosa, Superior General of the Order, opened the meeting November 4th by encouraging the Jesuits and the laymen and women who work with them to seize this special moment in which God is again speaking to us and inviting us to remember, to thank, to discern, and to take audacious, bold, and risky decisions to accompany Jesus and his people at the frontiers, together with the most excluded, poor, and vulnerable. The Trump administration, November 1st, announced a proposed rule to allow faith-based adoption and foster care agencies to follow their deeply held religious beliefs and not place children with same-sex couples. Under the proposal announced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, these agencies would not be excluded from certain federally funded programs for adhering to their belief in traditional marriage. The chairman of the U.S. Bishops' Committees on Domestic Policy, Defense of Marriage, and Religious Liberty welcomed the move that would overturn an Obama administration rule. "We commend the administration for acting to change a 2016 regulation that threatened to shut out faith-based social service providers, namely adoption and foster care agencies that respect a child's right to a mother and a father," the bishops said in a November 1st statement. "To restrict faith-based organizations' work by infringing on religious freedom, as the 2016 rule threatened to do, is unfair and serves no one, especially the children in need of these services," they said. Cardinal Daniel N. DiNardo, president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, in consultation with the members of the USCCB Administrative Committee, has taken the highly unusual step of disinviting a fellow bishop from the conference's Fall General Assembly. The decision affects Bishop Michael J. Bransfield, retired bishop of Wheeling, Charleston, West Virginia, who left his position in September 2018 under a cloud of allegations of sexual and financial misconduct. The USCCB meets November 11th through the 13th in Baltimore. The action comes under one section of the recently adopted protocol regarding available non-penal restrictions on bishops. With all the news a Catholic can use, I'm Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
Thanks so much, Renee. Let's move on to our interview. This morning at Catholic Views, we are joined by two veterans as we approach Veterans Day. For most of you as you hear the program, we have Eric Gallagher and Chris Motes with us. Chris from the South Dakota Catholic Conference, Eric from the Office of Youth Discipleship and Evangelization. First of all, thank you for your service. And it's great to have an opportunity to talk a little bit about the experiences of veterans these days. We hear some about that, that for a lot of guys, it's and ladies, I shouldn't just say guys. For a lot of veterans, they come back and have some difficulties if they've had different experiences, maybe abroad in their days as servicemen and women. How about for you guys? What's it like being a veteran these days for you? I don't know which one of you wants to jump in first. Eric, you want to go for it?
Sure. Yeah, I think one of the things first of all, it's humbling. It's always humbling when you're thanked, and it's a gift to be reminded. I look back and it was fun for it. Fun's maybe not the right word, but I was a single guy with I didn't have a wife and kids mm-hmm. when I went overseas, and I was in a unit that was just men. And so it was literally a lifetime opportunity, I think, to go and spend a year just with the guys. And it's definitely an honor, I think, to look back. And I think today, looking back, I served in 2004, pretty much the whole year. So we were kind of the second wave that went over to Iraq. And looking at kind of experiencing now every Veterans Day, I mean, there's so many deals everywhere for veterans all the time. And the thing that I'm constantly kind of blown away by is it seems to be the one thing that nearly anyone can celebrate today that everyone agrees on.
Yeah.
And I think it's a gift to be a part of that, to receive from it. But I just think it's cool that we still can find things like that we can all kind of just celebrate and be grateful for. And there's just a history, and you're not really going to get into an argument these days. I know there was a time where you might have, and it was definitely more of a divisive thing, but what a gift it is today.
Yeah. Chris, how about you?
Yeah, I'm both a veteran and still serving. I served active duty as an infantry officer, but then when I got out, went to law school, got a law degree, continued to serve in the Air National Guard. So there's kind of the perspective too of just like continuing to put on that uniform once a month. I guess agree with Eric that I'm just really grateful that just the tenor of the American people is overwhelmingly just really supportive, which is just such an occasion of gratitude, and to just really feel that that love, from our countrymen is something I'm really grateful for. I know it's something that not every generation of veterans has received. So, you know, even in moments of, political discord at times, to have that level of unity in support of men and women who wear a uniform is something that I'm personally just really grateful for.
It's interesting when you do, when you look a little bit, you see all kinds of interesting things. People don't always understand exactly what Veterans Day is. They don't even understand quite how to spell it sometimes, whether you should use the apostrophe S or not. You shouldn't, by the way, for clarification. It is a day for veterans. It is Veterans Day. So it's not, about that. And it's not Memorial Day. So it's really for veterans, people who are living, who have served. And I think it's important to know what it is, first of all, and where it came from. It started after World War I and kind of evolved through the years. It used to be called Armistice Day, and then it eventually it became Veterans Day. And it's a great way, I think, to acknowledge those who have served. It is still a holiday, although I think some workplaces take it, some workplaces don't. But it's a moment to pause, I think, and to give thanks to those who have served our country. Eric, what drew you to that? How did you get into the military in the first place?
There was definitely, in high school, the kicker for me was definitely just the college benefits. That's what originally drew me in. And there was a sense of like honor that I had. I looked back and my grandfather served, my father served, and my brother wasn't.
So there's
going
a tradition
serve,
in
so
the
I,
family. Yeah.
Yeah. So I looked at that and it all kind of made sense. I tend to say I didn't make much of a soldier, but I did. I do feel that honor because I understand, I think, more deeply what kind of courage it takes to serve. Mm-hmm. And I want to keep thinking about just our culture in the political realm, but we define courage in a lot of ways. And I look at the men that I served with in my unit, and I said I didn't have much that I was leaving at home. I mean, obviously my mom did not like, and my mom and dad would prefer it I stayed.
Yeah.
But there were many other men who offered and sacrificed and kind of waged a lot more on their gift to the country than I had to. And I just think that to me is the definition of courage, and just when you have something to lose. And I don't know, looking around and the guys, and I have kind of a light heart towards my service, but there were guys that I went with that didn't have such a positive experience, and stuff that goes on at home when you're away. And I think all of that, you just look at and say, well, we all kind of had to wage that and you come back to different situations. But I generally just look at it and think, it's a gift. It's a thing that makes our country great is the courageous men and women. And there's so much attached to it that I think people understand to some extent and on different levels, but as a veteran, I think there's a pride that kind of comes in. You look at the flag differently, and when you sing the Star Spangled Banner at a game, there is a different level of like depth that kind of resonates in you when the Star Spangled Banner is being played.
National Guard,
South Dakota National Guard.
All right, Chris, how about you? What drew you in?
You know, I think books, actually. So books can be dangerous things.
I've heard that.
Yeah, yeah. And I've always loved to read. When I was a teenager, I really was drawn to just stories of brotherhood and service, camaraderie, courage. I initially thought that I would want to enlist. College kind of came into my consciousness as I was in high school, and made the decision to pursue a commission. I ended up getting a commission from an ROTC program. There was a little family connection. I guess one of my grandfathers had served in World War II. I had a couple cousins that were serving. One that I was really close to, a year older than me, went to the Naval Academy. But I think it started actually with just reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Drew you in. Does faith for either one of you, did faith play a role either in your desire to serve, do you think, or maybe in how you served? Was it a factor at all, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think about, I mean, I might answer it a little bit differently, or the question, like, as you're saying it, the other aspect of it for me is really the gains in my faith through, like, the almost the benefit to my faith of being in the military.
Yeah.
I just, even just on a very simple level of just discipline and obedience and things like that, how valuable that is to the faith life.
Yeah.
And being in the military is definitely challenging, sometimes in the faith. I think it's, for me, as someone who's worked for the church for so long, it's probably the most secular thing I've been deeply ingrained in at times. And so it's challenging because you're just around a wide variety of people, and it's very human in that sense, and so a gift as well. For me, the benefit often was the time, and so one of the military like slogans is to hurry up and wait. And so you get there and you're ready for the next thing. And especially overseas, I mean, I read some of the most profound books I've ever read in my life, just taking advantage of that. So I can absolutely look back and say, like, my involvement in the military has helped me kind of create habits and disciplines and a perspective in my faith that I don't think I would have had otherwise.
Yeah, interesting. I hadn't thought about it from that perspective. You don't often hear people talk about that necessarily, but I appreciate that, Eric. I think that's a good insight for me to hear about, at least. How about for you, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I think it. You know, the going into the Marines as a young man, just kind of that period of life when you're in your late teens or your early 20s, is such a formative period of life, mm-hmm. Wherever you are. You know, just in terms of like really wrestling with the big questions, you know, who am I? What am I here for? What does it mean to serve? I think some of the...
I'm over 60 and I'm still doing that, by the way. So,
yeah,
you know.
But a lot of that, you know, it really begins as you enter adulthood at that period. I think for me, there was a bit of a seedbed for some of that just in the Boy Scouts. A little shout out to Troop 731 at Holy Spirit.
There you go.
Where you've got this sort of patriotic sense of service that's just really intertwined with a life of faith and growth and virtue is, you know, historically what the Scouts do so well. So I brought that experience, and then I totally see the hand of God in just each of these little moments. But a couple of things. I happened to be stationed, my first assignment, I was stationed in the middle of the desert, which was just really, it was unexpected. You don't always get to pick where you go, but I just really, scripture came alive to me in new ways. Like, God speaks in the desert, you know, we see that in so many different ways, in scripture. And, it was true for me to just have, to kind of be in the middle of nowhere, a bit of solitude. It was good and healthy. And then the base I was stationed at too, again, just the way the Lord things were kind of arranged right across the street from our battalion offices, where I spent a lot of time when I wasn't in the field, was the base chapel, and they happened to have just mass at noon every day. So that was something too for me as a young man that was just really just fed my life of faith as it was growing.
Yeah. Yeah, fascinating to hear about that. So both of you spent time in Iraq. Were you there at the same time by any chance?
I don't think so. Eric went earlier in the war, second wave, 2004. I didn't go until September of 2007. Sorry, in 2007 and 8, and then I went back again in 2009. It was very different. It was just the whole conflict was very dynamic and changed a lot. It didn't just change based on like the time period that you were there, but it changed based upon a great deal based upon where you were at in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Even frankly, block to block within cities, it could change. I would guess, you know, we've talked, I guess, a little bit about this before, but probably had some experiences in common. You were using the same equipment, same procedures, same basic kind of checklists and so forth, but also, probably had missions that were a bit different. The enemy, you know, in the particular area was maybe different
too. Yeah, that was an evolving, kind of fluid sort of thing, wasn't
very,
it?
Very fluid.
Still is today, obviously.
It is.
Still is today.
Yeah. 2004, you know, early on after the invasion, 2003, we learned, there are these things called IEDs. What are they? What are these tactics?
Yeah.
So we had to develop a whole new set of equipment and tactics to deal with them. Eric probably saw some of that, 2004. But 2007, where I was in the western part of the country, there was something called the Awakening, the Sahwa, where now the Iraqi tribes in western Iraq really came on board with the proposal that the military was making. And so some of these terrorist elements were a bit more like criminal elements on the run. They didn't have quite the same free rein that they had had in the years previous.
How do you celebrate Veterans Day now? What do either one of you do? Anything in particular? Do you try to find a way to get together with other vets or reconnect with some of the folks you might have served with, or do you stay in touch that way?
No, well, there's definitely a when you go get your free breakfast at Hy-Vee, there's that little an atmosphere in there. You just look around, and there's a shared spirit among veterans. I think that is just understood by all of them. My wife just spoils the heck out of me on Veterans Day, so she likes to find the free places that treat you well. And I remember going into a restaurant one time over the lunch hour at work. I left and they were giving a free meal to vets, and the Budweiser guy was handing out beers during lunch hour. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's a gift to just know that the country supports it. And it's exciting to see people rally around things. And the payback is, I think most vets would say, like, I did what I was asked to do.
Right.
But at the same time, like, sure, I'll take a free beer. Well, there's a joy to it that you can have as well.
I mean, you touched on this earlier, Eric, but do you think really some of that is making up, if you will, for the years when the country did treat veterans pretty poorly, that maybe there's a sense now we got some catch up to do?
Sure. And I think people, sure, we have different ideas of what freedoms are and what freedoms we're fighting for. But I think always people can look at the vets and say, you helped fight for the whatever I define freedom as or think it should be. You've made it possible for us to help keep that and fight for that. I think generally it's just exciting to kind of have a day where other stuff doesn't really matter. Yeah. And I think we remember the sacrifices that were made.
Yeah. Awesome. Chris, how about you? How do you celebrate it?
Honestly, but
you're still active, maybe it's a little different for you because you're still active.
I don't know. I did stumble into the free breakfast at Hy-Vee last year. I was doing a little shopping with my girls on a Saturday morning. I think it was a Saturday 2 years ago. Anyhow, it was just like, oh, yeah, bacon. But there was a real sense of, there is a sense of it was a joyful atmosphere, which was kind of fun for my girls to step into. Like, oh, you know, what is this? Why is there this celebration?
Yeah.
Because they were probably, I don't know, 4 and 6, when they went. So just to kind of be able to introduce them, to what it means to serve. I got to tell you though, Veterans Day was never really on my radar, until more recent years. The day prior, November 10th, is the Marine Corps birthday, and Marines are just real big on their own birthday.
Of course.
1775, the lengthy lineage of service. As a Marine, there's a kind of a competition of sorts, but
a healthy competition
of sorts between the 2 days. But yeah. I really do. It is fun to talk, you know, Veterans Day just with the girls, and let's go get some bacon and eggs and see all these generations too. That's one of the fun parts about it is all these different generations of men and women that served.
One of the reasons I was delighted that you two guys would talk about this today is that you're younger men. And I think most of us, when we think about veterans, we think about the guys from World War II. But the reality is, we have veterans from wars all the way since World War II on through today. Obviously, we're still sending people into harm's way. And so there's veterans from all stripes and all wars. And I'm, you know, it's good to remember that there's younger guys too. So,
yeah, I think when I take my kids to soccer or swimming or basketball or something, I don't know how many times, even since moving to Sioux Falls, I've just seen someone. I'm like, hey, I went to Iraq with that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, they are, I think they're hidden. It's a humble, service, I think, in that they've given part of their life and yeah, it's just a day to kind of help that gratitude rise up.
Well, it's great to have the conversation. I really appreciate the two of you taking time to do it today. Eric Gallagher from the Discipleship and Evangelization Office, Chris Motes from the South Dakota Catholic Conference. Again, happy Veterans Day to both of you.
Thanks
for being with us.
Thanks, Jerry.
Renee, we want to keep people abreast of what you're doing with your Saints blog. So where are we at with that?
The new one was posted recently on St. Jane Frances de Chantel. It's very good, very interesting. So check it out.
She's one of those saints that, you know, people might have heard of, but to know a little bit more about her story is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it's really a great one.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. As always, in November, keep praying for our beloved dead. That's our time for Catholic Views today. Please join us again next Sunday.